and thank you so much for tuning into Stable Connections, the podcast. Today's episode is with Marie Charlotte, and she talks to us about being born and raised on a 2-acre farm in Sonoma County, California, what her riding struggles are, and why she's more focused on dressage than archery. Hope you enjoy. Stable Connections is sponsored by Goatlandia Farm Animal Sanctuary, with locations in Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, and now Goatlandia Kitchen in Sebastopol, providing healthy, organic, plant-based food to the community. Through animal rescue and advocacy, Goatlandia is helping animals, people, and the planet. Please visit goatlandia.org or email info@goatlandia.org for more information. Stable Connections is sponsored by Amy Flores of Amiable Sport Horse. Amiable Sport Horse creates harmonious horses and riders through classical foundation training and intentional horsemanship. Amy Flores offers compassionate horse training and lessons for kids ages 2 years old to adults. Her lesson program is located in Petaluma, California, and she travels to nearby homes and facilities for your horse training. Please visit www.amiablesporthorse.com for more information.
It's summer.
It's summertime. You have lots of free time. Cool. So we're here to get to know you. So do you want to talk to us a little bit about how horses came into your life, maybe?
Well, my mom, you know, she trains horses. And so it's just always been a passion of mine to just be around them. And I think one thing that differentiates, you know, horses from a lot of other sports is that the horse is not your tennis racket or, you know, your basketball. Although those things, you know, the basketball can deflate or, you know, it can malfunction. But it's like the horse, it's got a mind of its own. Someday, it's going to wake up and be like, yeah, I don't really want to do this today. So it's really interesting to get to kind of learn the animal that it is and to kind of find the solution and work with what you have every single day, because every single day it's going to be different. But yeah, really just following my mom.
Yeah, and so were you born on this property?
Yeah, all my life I've been here. You know, when we very early on, when we first bought the property, the house still had to be renovated and such, so we moved a little bit down the street in a different house, a friend's house, and then moved back up here when the house was, you know,
ready for you guys?
Actually livable.
And do you want to talk about what this property has on it and how big it is and everything?
So this property is about 260 acres, and we've got 15 acres of vineyard, Pinot Noir and Syrah, and we've also got about 100 to, you know, 120 acres of hayfields for, you know, the somewhat 45 horses that live here. And we've got 6 pastures, I believe, each about 10 acres, more or less.
And that's where most of the horses live.
It's where most of the horses live. And then we've got, you know, some stalls and some paddocks and a big barn.
And arenas.
And arenas.
And a few arenas. And you guys have like a cross-country course that you're building out there too?
Cross-country course and a few ponds as well.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. You have some people come in sometimes, but...
Yeah, we like to keep it diverse, have to, you know, invite some guests to, you know, give a few clinics once in a while.
And tell me about your horse history. So when you started riding and then kind of how it's evolved.
So my pony and I were born in the same year. We're both learning still. So I started... Really, just she was the first one I rode. I mean, you know, you sat on the little old horses. Oh, cute little baby, take the photo. But really, you know, started riding was on her. It was on Mimi.
And was she one that your mom bred? So
yes,
she was born.
Still have Sweetheart, her mom, and still have Rooster, her dad. And I always like to joke about it because my dad owns Rooster, and my mom owns Sweetheart.
Uh-huh.
So it was like just really funny because it's the same. Parents. No,
same. Yes, yes. Yeah. So you guys are the same age, and how old are you?
13. 13. So she's in March, and I'm in December, so...
She's a little bit older?
She's 14, and I'm 13, but yeah. I really like it. It's she's, you know, really... She was really nice to have as a first horse. She's very sweet. Mm-hmm. She's not like all over the place. She's not fast. She's a slow little pony. She likes to relax. But yeah, no, we're starting to really, as my mom likes to say, really ride. So, you know, right now we're kind of chasing dressage because she had an injury on her hind leg. She kind of tore a tendon, bruised her tendon. And so it took her a long while to recover from that. And she also had laminitis previously. So we had to take a break. And so we're kind of just really saying, okay, let's take a break from hard, you know, not hardcore venting, but like bigger venting. We're really focusing on, you know, moving up level in dressage, first level. And hopefully our big goal is to get to the FEI second level pony champs.
Cool. That's a good goal.
Yeah.
And have you liked the switch to dressage?
Both me and my pony love cross country. Cross country and dressage, those are two things that we live for. Show jumping, though, that's our weak link. Because she just isn't fast. And show jumping is a lot of like, go, 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 go. So it's really been a journey to kind of learn, hey, how do I push her and make her go forward without her being like, upset with me, mm-hmm. or get sour.
How to get her to enjoy the going fast, yeah.
Yes, and to, you know, be successful in it and to enjoy it. And, you know, as long as she's happy, I'm happy. It's okay, but it's also, she's got the power. She's a power pony. She can jump high, but it's just really going. And, you know, I'm fine with that. Show jumping isn't my favorite either.
Do you think it's not your favorite because it's not her favorite? And you guys are so connected?
Yeah. And it's just like every time, not every time, but a lot of the time, it's just becomes more of a negative experience than a positive experience. Just at the end of the day, it's not really enjoyable. Eventing in general, I love it.
What do you love about it?
Well, because I love the dressage and I love the eventing. And it's just diverse, I feel like.
Yeah, there's a lot, there's skill involved in each one, like different skills in each one.
It just makes me happy.
Yeah, and you were saying that the cross country is your favorite out of the three things?
You know, that's a hard one. I feel like dressage and cross country are kind of equal for me because Mimi loves cross country. It's like you can just
point her at anything.
Point her and she goes. But it's not, you have to support her, you know, you have to be there for her. Some horses, you can just let go of the reins and they're going to go out and jump the whole course like a bullet.
But that's a speed thing too.
But that's the thing that's kind of, we're still figuring out, is that when we're on the cross country course, she is a super duper fast, energetic pony. Mm. She's willing to go.
The open spaces.
Yeah. I think so. And it's also, she's more used to that terrain, I feel like, maybe might be an element of that.
She's a Morgan?
Connemara cross Morgan.
Okay.
So dad is Morgan, mom is Connemara.
Okay. What do you feel like her personality is more of?
Connemara,
yeah.
Definitely. She's got that kind of Connemara body as well. She's gray, so obviously that's kind of main Connemara trait. She does inherit some of her dad's little sassy traits. You know, she's got the signature rooster head toss. And she's got, you know, the good Morgan energy.
She came out good.
She's the best of both worlds.
And have you felt like it's been easy to take instruction from your mom?
Well, that was a big struggle for a while.
For both of you, probably?
Yeah. But yeah. I think that's why also dressage helps a lot. That's really her thing, dressage and eventing. So, you know, dressage kind of helped us, me and my mom, more understand each other for training purposes. And then me understand the horse as well. So since she's French, I'm always telling her, okay, speak to me in French. Because I think part of the reason is that she went to the, you know, the best riding schools in France. So she was taught everything in French. So I feel like she can express herself a little better.
Yeah, I feel like certain things, the translation gets lost. And so doing it in like her native...
And, you know, I have the option, so might as well take it.
Yeah. You know? And did you learn French and English at the same time?
So that kind of went hand in hand with my school because I used to go to a French charter school for, you know, kindergarten and preschool. But we discovered that it really wasn't what we were looking for. And so I moved schools. It was in Santa Rosa. That French school's in Santa Rosa. So every day it was
you know,
4 hours of driving total for my mom.
I don't know, 4 hours. That's a lot. I think it was probably more like an hour each way.
An hour to get there and an hour to go back.
Oh, it's true. Of all You're the right. heavy traffic. 4 hours.
All the heavy traffic in the morning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a lot.
Which is crazy.
Yeah.
It's like going to San Francisco. Just wasn't worth it.
So is the school you're in now a French school as well?
No, so that's where we kind of were losing the French a little bit, which is because I'm at a school that's only English. And I mean, we have Latin instructor there, and this year I'm going to do Spanish, but very small private Christian school. And I really enjoy it, you know, because you have that nice connection with the teachers that's just more personal, especially if you're someone who struggles with, you know, school and academics. It's really nice.
Is that you?
No. I mean, I think if I were in a different environment, it would be. But because of that environment,
No. Do you feel like school comes easy to you?
Yeah. But it's not like I can just sit back and be like, okay.
You do study?
I try to.
You try to.
But I think part of the easy part is that I'm efficient. So I can do it all in school. Instead of having, you know, some kids have an hour of homework, nothing. Because I can read it all in school, I can do it all in school, and then it's done.
And then I can come here and go ride my pony. Yeah. So over the years, with mostly being instructed by your mom, who have been some of the clinicians that have come in and you felt you got a lot of help from?
I think Larka really helped me. I don't know. Yeah, really, it was just a lot of a struggle getting to kind of like accept the help and like realize that it's like, wow, these trainers actually can see almost every single minor detail. You don't have to explain to them. Because what I was doing a lot of is I was like, no, you don't understand. This is what I'm feeling. Nah. But they know, because they can see it. That's how experienced they are. And so I think it was also just, you know, taking some time to myself and watching others ride, I think helped a lot. I had a few clinics with a Grand Prix dressage rider, Rihanna Porter. She was very nice, very, very good with, you know, younger people, because at the time it was like 11, 12, me.
And that was your early stages of dressage or no?
Yeah, that was kind of just like starting to mature as a person and as a rider, kind of, you know, working around like, oh, okay, this is what they're looking for, you know, judges, this is what they're looking for, this is how I can help my horse achieve that. And I think mostly the part of the clinics that was helpful is that it was like, they're telling you the exact same thing as my trainers were telling me. So that really helped to make me realize like, oh, they're not just telling it to me because
Something that actually is noticeable. Yeah.
Yeah.
And maybe Rihanna was able to say it in a way that was worded a little bit differently so you could fully understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes
sense.
That
was nice.
And so what do you think has been the hardest thing about living on a property like this and growing up here?
I think the social part I struggle with a lot. You know, I have a few friends that live in Marin, some in San Francisco. And, you know, hearing them talk, they can just walk to their best friend's house and, you know, go spend the day at the mall. I can't really do that. Plus, even if my parents could drive me, they can't because they're so busy all the time. And I'm not complaining. I would live such a different, worse life if my parents were not such hard workers. And I'm so thankful for it. And it's also setting a good example for me later on. But yeah, I think the social aspect is a little bit hard. And it's also this community, it's kind of like my safe space. Here it's my safe space. So, you know, I know that even if I mess up in my own eyes, other people are still inspired. And, you know, they're not like, oh, wow, she's bad. Versus that's why it's kind of hard for me sometimes to get out of my comfort zone. Like, in general, other non-horse-related activity is what I struggle with mostly.
Yeah. Even though you go to school?
I go to school, you know, church. I hang out with friends. But school doesn't bother me much because I'm good at it. I mean, honestly, I think that's kind of just the way human is structured. It's just like, oh, I'm not good at this. I'm kind of going to be a little hesitant and cautious. So I think it's just like getting past that. That's just me as a human in general. But yeah, no, I love horses. That's my comfort
That's
space.
That's your thing. Yeah, and so I know you were doing archery for a little bit. Are you still doing that?
Currently, our goal with horses is 2024 Kentucky USBC Championships.
What is that? Okay.
So it's, you know, the whole U.S. Pony Club is organized at the kind of Pony Club capital in Kentucky. So they have a huge, at the Kentucky Horse Park, huge, huge competition there. And so that's really our goal right now, is to qualify in dressage for that. So because of that, we're kind of taking a little break competing archery-wise. But I'm still doing archery, you know. It's a nice, fun activity, again, for the diversity, to keep Mimi and my mind entertained.
Yep, definitely.
It also helps strengthen the whole body, and it also helps the mind. You know, I think that's something that show jumping kind of, I don't have yet, but I have an archery, is that you don't hit the target, but bam, you got to move on to the next one. Otherwise, your whole run is ruined.
Yeah, you can't dwell on something. If you didn't hit it or even did hit it, you have to just continue.
Yeah.
Similar with dressage, I feel like, because if you don't hit that 20-meter circle perfectly, you got to move on.
Yeah. So that's also something I'm kind of struggling with, is like, I have it in dressage, I have it in eventing, or not eventing, cross country, I have it in archery, but why don't I have it in show jumping?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Do you only ride Mimi?
I mean, she's my main horse, but, you know, I ride other horses to, you know, get a feel for it, and also to help my mom out sometimes. But no, sometimes Larka or Natalie will want me to, you know, ride a different horse. They'll look at Mimi and they'll be like, oh, hey, you're struggling with this problem. Maybe you can ride this horse and ride it and learn from it. I think that's really something that also helped me was, you know, you'd ride a different horse and be like, oh, here's a tool that I can use for my horse on my own time. So that also helped a lot.
I know you said that you started in that French school really young. Has it been pretty easy for you to learn French along the way?
Yeah, I mean, we go to France to visit family, and...
Does your dad also speak or no?
No.
No.
Just me and my mom. You know, we talk. That's helpful. And then I also have a French tutor, which really helps just to kind of, with all the grammar and the writing and the spelling and the... Because I can read. I can write, but it's kind of like a kindergartner.
Yeah, but at least it's something. It's more than most people.
But yeah, speaking is fine. You know, it's the occasional kind of stuff that you would naturally flow into.
Like the his and hers switching and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah, I have it a lot. It's just kind of like word placement sometimes.
What do you feel like, other than the show jumping, like specifically you as a rider, what do you think your biggest struggle is?
Honestly, I think it's really me and myself. I put a lot of pressure on myself. I'm hard on myself. But I honestly don't mind it as much as other people do, because it helps me be who I am and excel at what I do. Versus if it was kind of just like, eh, whatever, I wouldn't really be anywhere. But yeah, I think it's mostly just like frustration and kind of like beating myself up about it. I used to be really bad. Now I can just ride, focus on it for like 2 seconds, I'd be like, whoa, wait, what am I doing? And then keep going.
Learn from it and then progress.
And I also, this is kind of just funny, but I get distracted sometimes. In dressage, I find myself during, not really during schooling, because there's, you know, my trainer's talking to me and telling me, hey, do this, and I can also go where I want to go. But in the tests, sometimes I'll get bored and be like, oh, look at the pretty butterfly. And next thing I know, you know, I'm missing the next exercise. Which, that's kind of hard, because especially when you're tired, which is quite frequently gonna happen at shows.
Definitely. I think the waking up early, the braiding, the this, the that, the adrenaline of it all, and then the trying to stay focused in the arena.
Yeah.
When you get in that mode, do you recognize it right away?
I think so. Most of the time, yes. Sometimes I will like zone out while I'm still doing stuff. That I have trouble recognizing. Something that I used to struggle with a lot was, I mean, still kind of do, is the rein length. Because Mimi, she's like, I like it, but I don't really want to work. So she'll kind of like nudge and slowly pull it from me. Which, you know, in the moment, you don't see it, but it's kind of like, millimeter by millimeter by millimeter. And at the end, you've lost like 20 centimeters. Then you kind of butchered your headset.
But then you gather them up again and you start over.
And then you start over.
Yep.
And then, you know, 2 minutes later, you're like, oh, my rings are getting long again.
Yep.
I think another thing I struggle with personally was with the frustration was I would learn something one way and then realize that, oh, wait, that was not the wrong way, and then have to start back from square one, which was really frustrating. But looking back on it, it's not that it was my fault or anyone's fault. It was just like, one, I was growing. My legs and my arms are much, much longer now. And so, you know, now I can finally put my seat where it needs to be. Now I can finally, you know, wrap my legs really around Mimi and ask her for, you know, more difficult movements. And now I can shorten the reins because my arms are longer.
Mm-hmm.
So my reins are longer too. So I have to shorten the reins. And holding the reins as well, you have a lot more like fine motor control. So it's like I used to hold the reins like you would hold a fork like this. You know how you have in the cartoons where they're like, give me the food, and they're holding it like this?
Yep.
Like an ice cream cone. But now it's really like, wait, you have to put the rein in between your thumb and your forefinger, and the excess has to go this way. And then you play with the rest of your fingers to really get them to soften into your hands. And I feel like something that a lot of people struggle with is like understanding what's going on with your body, your horse, what you're being asked of. And I mean, sometimes that can be tricky, especially when you have really difficult movements. It's like, oh, these are all the mechanics. This is the like what's happening. And also being aware. Some people have zero body awareness.
It's true.
And you look at them and you're like, how are you not realizing that your leg is, you know, way too far back or way too far forward? So I think that's the thing, as in general, as us riders need to have, is a good body awareness.
How do you feel like people strengthen that the best? Or at least how do you strengthen that?
I think just personally, just thinking about it. Really thinking about it, putting myself where I need to be, and then gradually, like I'll do that at the walk or even the halt if I'm really struggling, and then gradually kind of put up the speed. You know, first you start, oh, okay, my legs are way too far forward. Or, you know, I'm kicking my legs forward in a transition. Then first you start from walk to halt. Then you progress, trot to walk. I think that's something, you know, Rihanna helped me realize was if something is difficult for you and you're still learning and teaching the horse, you have to kind of start at a slower gait or an easier gait and then move up. But then also the realization is you can't overdo that, because if you're working on putting your horse on the bit and collecting your horse on the bit at the trot, you can't do that at the walk because you're working on it at the trot.
It's different, yeah.
It's different.
And do you have any hobbies outside of horses?
I do. I love to do theater.
Theater? Okay, yeah, theater. Tell me more about that.
So our school, my school, does a annual kind of spring musical. So, I mean, I don't really do theater outside of that, but that's really my main commitment. I love it.
What do you love about it?
Well, I really like to sing. I mean, I don't know if I like it, but I'm pretty good at it. And then I like to really act. You know, I like to put myself in someone else's shoes, understand their point of view, and I love the costumes.
And you love the costumes.
I love the costumes.
Yeah, it sounds like you like the whole thing. Do you think that you will ever seek outside of school?
I don't think so, but definitely in high school, that's something I'll look for, is, you know, do they have a theater program? But that's also not my main focus. I will value academics above that.
And horses somewhere up there as well.
Of course.
And so you're in eighth grade now?
Yes, just graduated seventh, going into eighth.
Okay, and so do you feel ready for high school?
I don't know where I'm going yet, which is something we're also looking, is that I don't know where to go, because this is my last year at Harvest, which is the school I go to currently, and I love that school. I really wish they had high school. The thing I'm looking for in high school is that teacher-student connection, because I feel like I'm generally ready for high school, but I think I'll definitely have to work harder. And if I am struggling, I want someone to be there for me. You know, I don't want it to be the kind of careless public school, high school teacher kind of just like...
You're just a number. Yeah. That's great to know that you want that and need that. Do you think you'll go to college?
I hope so. Yeah. Yes.
What do you think you might want to study if you've thought about it?
Right now, the thing that really piques my interest is me and my dad just recently toured, not toured, but walked around his old campus for college.
Where did he go?
SMU.
SMU, where? Santa Monica?
No. Texas. It's in Texas.
Oh.
Yeah. So I think I would like to go there to kind of get the more business side of education. So that, because, I mean, this ranch, it's got a lot of, you know, ranchy managing parts, but there's a lot of financial handling parts as well. I think it's also because I would just love to go there to get the, you know, the financial education. If we do end up, you know, selling the ranch eventually, it would be nice to have some sort of background to, like, you know, help start my own company or, you know, join one. So I think it's either that or going to a college with some sort of horse background. Preferably that would be out of state, even like Europe or something.
Out of country. Yeah.
Because I mean, I would really love to at least see where my mom, you know, got all of her training and stuff. Maybe be trained there as well.
Other than the kind of Kentucky soon to be goal that you're hopeful for, are there any like big aspirations in terms of horse goals?
Well, my dad really wants me to do Tevis, so obviously not with Mimi. I love you, Mimi, but that is not what you're built for.
She probably wouldn't be very happy if you got her to do that.
No. I mean, she could do it, but I think we'd have the longest time in ever recorded. Just be walking the whole way.
Yep. So you said your dad wants you to do it. Do you want to do Tevis?
I think it'd be a fun experience.
Why do you think he wants you to do it?
Well, because he did it. Both my parents did it. Yeah, both my parents did it. And it's also kind of just like a nice thing to have in your buckle. Mm-hmm. In your belt.
Whatever.
Same Whatever thing. The expression is.
What is your favorite thing about living on a property like this?
I love to really be with the nature. One, because it's just healthy. And two, because it really helps me connect with, you know, God more and see, like, the beauty in what he's created.
You've probably seen a lot of vet care living on a boarding place like this.
Yeah. Oh, that's something I would love to do, actually, is my dad is part of AAEP.
Okay.
So the Foundation of the Horse, kind of that. I would love to kind of spend a week with them and travel with them and learn about all the vet things they do. Because I was listening to, you know, one of their conference calls, because that's, my dad was working from home that day, and they were saying, like, yes, some vet students came back to us and were like, I learned more a month with you guys than, like, 2 years in vet school.
Oh, wow.
So I think that's why it would be kind of beneficial for me.
Awesome. Well, let's go into the questions. So what is something within the community you want to see evolve or change, and then how can you help with that if you're not already?
I think in general, the horse community is just very fancy schmancy, and nothing wrong with that. I like dressing up for my pony and, you know, riding my fancy dressage test once in a while, but I feel like it's just so all the time that it's like, are you really enjoying the sport for like the down to earth and dirtiness that it is? Or are you just saying, hey, groom, can you tack up my horse and I'm gonna go ride my show? I feel like there are a lot of professional expectations going around, especially with all these people who, like, not document, but, you know, post their rides and stuff on social media, which is fine. You know, I like seeing other people's rides and stuff, how they ride their horses. But I feel like it sets a bar for, like, professional expectations and a specific level of, like, progress that needs to be made, or, you know, what we need to show up to. But it's really fine just to be, it's fine to be inexperienced. It's fine to be learning.
And so how can you help with that change?
I think that will come with me being older and being, you know, starting to train horses myself, is to kind of, you know, just keep the environment here and, you know, inspire other people to have that environment at their barns. I think that's what I can do mostly without getting super involved and, you know, wrecking it for myself.
Do you think you'll be a trainer? Do you want to be a trainer?
At least run the place. I think, yeah, I'd love to be a trainer. I also, if I'm running the ranch, I'm also going to be doing a lot of other things. You know, I feel like it's going to start out as being a trainer, and then as the place, you know, evolves a little more, if I can have, you know, two Larkas instead of one, that would be great to, you know, they can train the horses and teach. Then I can manage the other aspects of the property and really bring it to its full potential.
What's appealing about managing a property?
I don't really know. It's kind of just like what I want to do, I guess. Maybe because my parents do it. But it's also like I can't really see myself doing any other job. Like, I don't want to work somewhere in an office. I thought about being a vet for a long time, but I think the most I would ever go there with that is, you know, get the vet training so I can be the vet here that's needed here. So, you know, we don't have to have the vet over, unless if it's like really serious. But I think it would be just better to, you know, go out and get some experience with people as a form of like training.
Awesome. And then you get to ask me one question. Is there anything, you don't know much about me, but is there anything you want to ask me?
This is out of just general curiosity. Like, what do you do with your horse? Like, do you compete? Are you Western English?
I ride in a dressage saddle, and he has a very fancy dressage background, but I trail ride. And that's all we really do together is I haul him out to different trails locally, a lot of like the regional parks around here, and usually just by myself too. I choose to be by myself, and we just walk around, sometimes trot, sometimes canter on the trails or at the beach, and that's it.
That's
awesome. My preferred. Yeah, he probably similar to how you feel with Mimi with the show jumping.
Yeah,
I just feel like my horse comes alive a little bit more, even if we're just walking on the trail. I think for, you know, the first 10 years of his life, he did a lot of little circles in the arena, and my horse traveled a lot too.
Yeah.
And sometimes, you know, I'll lunge him in the arena, or I will ride him really occasionally, walk, trot, canter in the arena, or do some pole work and stuff.
Yeah.
But for the most part, I just, you know, once or twice a week go out trail riding. So, cool. Awesome. Well, thank you for chatting with me.
Of course. My pleasure.
Hello again, and thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Stable Connections, the podcast. This is your host, Shauna Burke, and if you enjoyed this episode and want to hear more, don't forget to tune in every Monday morning for a new episode. Follow us on Facebook and on Instagram. It always helps to leave a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or on Facebook. And if you or someone you know wants to sponsor an episode, please visit www.stableconnectionsthepodcast.com. See you next week. Stable Connections is sponsored by Goatlandia Farm Animal Sanctuary, with locations in Santa Rosa, Sebastopol, and now Goatlandia Kitchen in Sebastopol, providing healthy, organic, plant-based food to the community. Through animal rescue and advocacy, Goatlandia is helping animals, people, and the planet. Please visit goatlandia.org or email info@goatlandia.org for more information. Stable Connections is sponsored by Amy Flores of Amiable Sport Horse. Amiable Sport Horse creates harmonious horses and riders through classical foundation training and intentional horsemanship. Amy Flores offers compassionate horse training and lessons for kids ages 2 years old to adults. Her lesson program is located in Petaluma, California, and she travels to nearby homes and facilities for your horse training. Please visit www.amiablesporthorse.com for more information.